We started reading Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, and Parshas Noach, and we're heading towards Parshas Lech Lecha. So one of the first mitzvahs, in fact, the Sefer Achinuch, the one who counts his mitzvahs, the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pru Urevu. The first mitzvah, he says in the Torah, is the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. So it gives us an opportunity to discuss a little bit what is the nature of this mitzvah of Pru Revu, having children, being fruitful and multiply. Who does it apply to? So the Gemara in Yevamos discusses how does one fulfill the mitzvah Pru Revu. So number one, as we'll see, it's an interesting mitzvah for many reasons, but one is usually a mitzvah means it's something in my control, relatively. Like, I have a mitzvah of eating matzah, so if in theory I have matzah in front of me, I have hands and I could chew, it's my choice to fulfill the mitzvah. Or do I go out and buy a four species? Or do I put on tefillin in the morning? So generally speaking, most, assuming you're relatively healthy and you're capable, usually fulfilling a mitzvah is usually up to you. You have free choice. But when it comes to the mitzvah Pru Revu, we know it's not necessarily up to a person whether they have kids or not. So what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah? So before I get into that, how does one fulfill the mitzvah? So that's a debate, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, if you have two boys, you fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Revu. Beis Hillel says, a boy and a girl. So in fact, so the way we understand the Machlokas is face value. Beis Hillel says a boy and a girl and not two boys. And Beis Shammai says two boys and not a boy and a girl. The way the Jerusalem Talmud states is Beis Hillel agrees with Beis Shammai also. But they're saying even more than Beis Shammai, they're saying even a boy and a girl. But the way we assume the halacha is, you need a boy and a girl. So in theory, you could have 9 boys and not fulfill Pru Revu, and you could have 9 girls and not fulfill Pru Revu. In order to fulfill the mitzvah Pru Revu, technically speaking, legally, one has to have a boy and have a girl. That's just, so obviously, as we'll have to discuss, it seems to be, even today, maybe today with modern technology, you have more control over it, perhaps. But clearly, when they gave the halacha, we weren't able to perhaps choose the sex and fertility drugs. So we'll come into that later on. IVF, artificial insemination. But Bisman HaGemara, or did they? Were they aware of that concept? And what was that concept? So that's the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So we assume you need a minimum of a boy and a girl. And then there's another mitzvah. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Well, so God did not create the world to leave it desolate. Elo Lashevis, he created the world to populate the world. So that's a pasuk in Yeshaya in Navi, which the rabbis deduce there is another mitzvah. So it's secondary to Pru Revu is the biblical mitzvah. The mitzvah from the Navi is, if we take strictly Pru Revu, that's it. You have one boy and a girl, that's it. Close up shop. You don't even have to try to have any more kids. But based on the mitzvah of Sheves, we deduce that no, that's the minimum amount. Like in general, halacha is giving us the minimum, not the maximum. And what Shabbos teaches me, you could have as many kids as it's feasible, as long as you could deal with bringing them up properly, and you could deal with it, you know, emotionally and everything that involves being a parent. So whatever the number is, and obviously people have different numbers. Some people maybe, you know, and they come to their own cheshbon. But some want to say that to fulfill Pru Revu is a boy and a girl, you could do one more of each. Others say there's no limit. I mean, in theory, If a person feels they could have 20 kids and be an appropriate mother, father, and everything else, you know, I'm not saying whether the assessment's true or not. It's a separate question, but I'm saying based on the assessment, you make a judgment what's a reasonable amount of kids you could bring up and bring them up in a proper way. In fact, that's because it's the mitzvah just to have the kids and just drop them off in an agency or just leave them, you know, don't educate them. Is that the mitzvah? Or is the mitzvah having the kids and bringing them up and being mechanach them? So that's what we'll discuss. So originally, clearly the mitzvah's changed. Why do I say the mitzvah's changed? Well, or at least it's either changed because originally the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, this is a mitzvah given to non-Jews. It was given to everybody. Obviously, even though it's not in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but obviously if there are no people, there's no world, and there's no seven universal laws. So, and in fact, the Gemara says, prior to Matan Torah, the Gentiles were obligated in the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. I'm not saying that today there's no technical, they might have a mitzvah of Lashev, as you say, or maybe they have a mitzvah to populate the world, but they definitely don't have the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. That's specifically on a Jew, and we'll see specifically on a male, ironically. But the mitzvah, so originally the mitzvah was for the whole world, and at Har Sinai, the Gemara says it was given over to the Jewish people. So it applied to non-Jews, but when it, at Har Sinai, the mitzvah changed to the, it's only given to the Jewish people. Doesn't mean non-Jews can't have children and shouldn't have kids, but there's no, they don't get the mitzvah or they're not violating a mitzvah if they don't have kids. They're not violating Pru Ravu if they intentionally don't have children. But, you know, but they don't get the mitzvah of Pru Ravu either. They might get another mitzvah populating the world. So Pru Ravu, interesting, as I pointed out, is a mitzvah only on the man. You would think if there's one mitzvah on women, you'd think the mitzvah is having children. Ironically, it's counterintuitive at first glance that the mitzvah is only on men. And now, why would that be? Like, you know, I understand, you know, a mitzvah sasesha is man grama. If the whole reason is because women are involved in taking care of the family, so I understand why they're exempt from shofar and lula, but if the whole mitzvah is to bring up the family, you would think that's the one mitzvah that, if there was one mitzvah I would pick, I would say, well, it's, the mitzvah for them is to have kids, yet that mitzvah they're exempt from. Well, we'll see if they're totally exempt from. But they're exempt from the mitzvah of Pru Ravu. So, in fact, it's a very beautiful Mesha Chachma. Rev. Meir Simcha HaKoe Midavinsk. And he has a beautiful pshat. He wants to point out that originally, that changed. Originally, women were obligated, men and women, because he shows through the psukim, originally the mitzvah was given in the plural, Peru or Ravu, and later on it was changed to Pare Ore, it was given in the singular. So the Mesha Chachma has a beautiful explanation. He says, really, originally, the mitzvah Peru Ravu was on men and women. Why would women be exempt from Peru Ravu? It's their mitzvah. So he says, I'll tell you why, because originally, it was given to both, but what happened? The Torah tells us because of the sin of Adam and Chava, of Adam and Eve. So what was the punishment for Eve? That the pain of childbirth. Up until now, the Mesha Chachma was claiming it was painless to have child. You know, is there anything else? It wasn't a painful situation. The baby comes out, maybe you don't even feel it coming in out, whatever it was. It didn't involve a tremendous, a lot of 9 months of suffering or whatever it might be, etc. And forget about holding the baby, the actual child. In fact, in childbirth was a dangerous operation. I mean, it still is. Halakhically, we view that woman as someone who's in danger, even though practically today with modern technology, it's rare that someone's going to die in childbirth, but we still view it in halakha a woman who's giving birth is someone whose life is in danger, and that's why we desecrate the Shabbos and everything else for her. So, but the bottom line is, originally it was painless, or at least not painful. And then after the sin of Adam and Chava, it became painful. So the Mesha Chachma wants to say, the Torah has a principle. We say it in davening. I think right before in the Eitz Chaim Hi and the Menucha Yomer, when we put the Torah back, Derechecha Darchei Noam, that the Torah is very pleasant. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. And God only commands us in pleasant things. Since childbirth involves tremendous pain, it's not appropriate for God to command the woman, you know what? I command you to have a child, and you have to suffer for the next 9 months, you know, and suffer, I mean, in whatever suffering, you know, you go difficult times, hopefully not suffering, but I'm not going to command you to go to perform, do such an act, which is going to lead to, therefore, I can't command a woman. So originally, women were commanded when it was painless. When it became painful, or discomfort, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure different pregnancies are harder than others. So then he changed the commandment to the only on the man. Because it's such a painful act, God couldn't command the woman to and that's why he explains that's why we, biblically speaking, we only have one day where we have to fast on Yom Kippur. And on the day before Erev Yom Kippur, there is a biblical commandment to eat. So the Torah is very concerned about one's health and not to be in pain, not to be in tsar. So when we force you to, biblically speaking, to fast one day, we force you to make sure you eat a lot, drink a lot, make sure you take care of yourself, because we're very concerned about one's health. And therefore, that's what the Meshech Chochma says. It wouldn't be appropriate. The Torah is Derechecha Darchei Noam, and we're going to force a woman to, therefore, we don't put the commandment on her. Therefore, technically, she is exempt. The mitzvah is on the man. And it's her choice, so to speak, if she wants to help the husband fulfill his mitzvah. But he didn't want to put the mitzvah on her because that involves too much pain. That's one answer. A second answer is just the opposite. You know why you didn't command the woman? The commandment's on the man? Because God put in a woman's instinct to have a natural instinct in a woman to have children, that they want to have children. Because according to the first answer, he's saying that it's too painful, and therefore we're not commanding you against something against your nature. Against, you know, not her nature, anyone's nature, to go through suffering and pain. The second answer is saying no. The reason why is because God put in a nature in the woman. The woman, there, you know, obviously everyone's different, but as a general rule, there's an innate nature in a woman. That's what they want to do. They want to bring up children. They want to have children. Therefore, God made it that way because it's painful. He had to put in an innate nature in them that they want to do it. So it's not being forced on them. Even that choosing, let's say there wasn't a mitzvah. We see many, the Jews are a tiny percent of the population. Yet we see women of all religions, of all kinds, having children, and they know it's painful. I don't generally put my head inside an oven on 500 degrees because I don't want to get my head blown off. So you're not going to do things, you're not going to volunteer things which involve pain. Clearly, there seems to be an innate desire of women, based on God put it in them, that they're willing to go through the discomfort of childbirth and pregnancy in order to have children. So that's what the Meshech Chochma says. So the reason why women are not commanded is either because it's too painful or the opposite. He gave them, he gives a psychological reason. Part of this, he says, because imagine a woman can't have children. So right now, strictly speaking, on a biblical level, we don't do it anymore, but a man can have many wives. Because, you know, and in fact, that was the practice in different places. But today it's accepted that we don't, maybe among Svardi Kehilas, it's still rare, but there they, you might have some still. But generally speaking, you know, we assume it's not appropriate, you know, we don't assume we don't do it. It's not a matter like you don't have to, is we assume it's, you don't. That's not, you know, it's not the way it works. Bizman Azeh, you keep, you're a good husband for one wife. and with all the kids. You don't have to start looking for many more. So that's the accepted norm. We just marry one woman and that's it. So let's say a man marries a woman and can't have kids. So again, so strictly speaking, so it's not an issue. Again, I'm not saying Bizman Azeh. So what would he do? He doesn't have to divorce his wife. He could still stay with his wife and he'll get another wife. He'll marry a second wife. So if the mitzvah pruvu is on a man, the obligation's on the man to go ahead and try to find another way of having children. So that he could do by marrying another. He doesn't have to divorce his wife, but he could still love both wives. Apparently, if the Torah lets you get married to two or three wives, in theory at least, it's possible. Again, Bizman Hazeh, we don't do it, but I'm saying back in the day, you could still be a good husband and father, and I guess the woman didn't care back then or whatever the case might have been. Whatever the social issues were then, that's the way it was done. I'm not getting into that. But clearly today it's not appropriate, but that the mitzvah is, but let's say a woman, so let's say, imagine the mitzvah is pru revu, is on the woman. And a woman has, and she can't have kids with the man she loves. She has no option but divorce him because she can't be married to two husbands because for obvious reasons, we have to know who the father is. We have to know in terms of, you know, so therefore, that's what out of the love for the woman, that the woman psychologically, she's brought up loving a husband. Now you're going to tell her, sorry, you got to divorce him. That's not right. You know, it's part of Derechecha Darchei Noam, and therefore, the Meshach Chokmah, based on those physical, psychological, painful reasons, the Meshach Chokmah explains why today women are exempt. According to him, originally they might have been obligated when there was no pain, but Bizman Hazeh, clearly all are in agreement that a woman is exempt. However, there's another, so the question, she's definitely exempt from Pru Revu. What about the secondary mitzvah in Yeshaya, of populating the world? So that's a debate among the Rishonim on whether, is she exempt in the mitzvah of Sheves also, or she's just exempt in the mitzvah of Pru Revu? What's the issue at hand? The issue at hand is, how do we view the mitzvah of Sheves? Is Sheves an outgrowth of the mitzvah of Pru Revu? In other words, there's a mitzvah of having a boy and a girl, and then don't stop there, but keep on going. It's someone who's chayev in Pru Revu, we tell you to keep on going. Or do I say no? It's an independent. It's not. There's a mitzvah of Pru Revu, and there's a mitzvah of Sheves. Are they two independent mitzvahs? Minaf Gemina, what's the practical difference? Women. If you assume it's an extension of Pru Revu, so if a woman's exempt from Pru Revu, she's exempt from Sheves also. But if you assume it's an independent mitzvah, so then a woman would be chayev, and perhaps maybe Gentiles as well, that maybe they no longer have a mitzvah of Pru Revu, but maybe perhaps they're involved in the mitzvah of populating the world. So in fact, it's an interesting debate in the Gemara in Yevamos, between Rev Yochanan and Reish Lakish. A very interesting case. Let's say a Gentile, two Gentiles, a non-Jewish male, a non-Jewish woman, get married, perfectly fine. They have a beautiful family. They have a boy and a girl. And then, who knows, they get the light bulb goes on. They want to convert to Judaism. So they go, they're sincere, and we convert them. So now we convert them and they have a boy and a girl when they were Gentiles. So regarding the mitzvah of Pru Urevu, do they have to have another boy and a girl? Or do I say the boy and the girl they had as Gentiles counts for the mitzvah? So that's a debate between Rev Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says they need to have, if they want to fulfill the mitzvah Pru Revu, we can't take away the boy and the girl. Yes, they do have a biological boy and girl. But in terms of the mitzvah Pru Revu, it's a no-go. Because why? Because we have a principle. Gershen is Gayer, Kikatan Shonoladam. We have a technical legal principle that if a father and son convert, they are not related to one another. or I should say even a father. So in other words, if a father and daughter convert and not related, or a brother and so, biblically speaking, they could even marry each other. But obviously the rabbi said, no way, you can't. For many reasons, but I'm just saying, point, they're not related. Al pi halacha, then if they're not related, how could I say like they? How could I fulfill pru revu with kids that are related to me? That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. That seems to be a strong argument. Yet we pass in like Rav Yochanan. He says they're still your biological kids, even though you have the halacha, and he says that you don't the boy and girl you had as Gentiles. You can fulfill your mitzvah with. So it's a machlokes. We paskin like Rav Yochanan that he no longer has to have any more kids. The kids he had, a boy and a girl, are go. In fact, it's an interesting further debate. Within the opinion of Rav Yochanan, do the kids have to convert or the kids can remain Goyim? And let's say I converted to Judaism, me and my wife, or just me, my kids remain Gentiles. Does Rav Yochanan say even in that case, or does he require conversion of the kids as well? So as you guessed it, that is a further debate among the commentators. Whether so, some opinions say they don't have to. The kids don't have to convert. In fact, some might say, for sure if the kids don't convert, it's good. If they convert, it's a bigger issue. I'll get to that in a second. And others say that no, because. That's what the Vilna Gaon says, that it's a chiddush. It's a bigger chiddush to say if they convert, you get the mitzvah, because now it's a double thing. They're not Jewish, and Gershon is Gayer, now you're no longer related to them anymore. As a guy, you had a shaykhus to them, biologically, but once they convert, they become new people, you lose that connection. So the bottom line is, it's a debate within Rav Yochanan whether the kids have to convert. What is the issue at hand between this machlokes? The two questions. How does Rav Yochanan say you get the mitzvah? But let me take care of the other question first. What is the machlokes here, whether the kids have to convert or not? So the kid, it could be on what we touched on before, that we said originally non-Jews were obligated in Pru Revu. The mitzvah, and then at Har Sinai, the mitzvah was given to the Jewish people, and they are no longer obligated. So what's the pshat? In other words, originally the mitzvah Pru Revu was to populate the world. That was the original. And once the Jewish people came on the scene at Har Sinai, so now the mitzvah Pru Revu changed. It's no longer to populate the world, but it's to bring up a Jewish nation, to bring up children, you know, who believe in God, keep the Torah, and all of that. That's the machlokes. Do I say the mitzvah has changed now? So obviously Reish Lakish holds, well, no, the mitzvah is to populate the world. Even if my kids don't convert, the bottom line, I did it, so I get my mitzvah. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the mitzvah has changed. That the mitzvah has changed now. You only get the mitzvah if you bring up your children. That ties in. Perhaps, let's say, I'm going to have 8 kids, but I'm going to bring them up Christian, or I'm not going to bring them up, so maybe it's not so simple, you get the mitzvah Pru Revu. In other words, the question is a mere biological having, is that the mitzvah? Or it's not, that was originally true. The question is, if the mitzvah has changed, that's not enough anymore. Clearly, it was always the intent, but I'm just saying, but legally speaking, is the mitzvah to have kids and let them grow up vildachayas, or is there a mitzvah? Obviously, there's a mitzvah of chinuch anyway, but the question is it part of the mitzvah of Pru Revu? Everyone agrees you should do that, but they say you got Pru Revu, but you didn't do your mitzvah of chinuch. Do I say the mitzvah is inherently built into Pru Revu? Do I go that far? So that's, as you guessed it, that's a debate as well. And it has to do with a famous Gemara in Brachas. I think it was between Chizkiyo HaMelech and Chizkiyah, the Navi. That what happened was, I think the Navi went to the Melech and said, what's going on with you? You're not having children. How come you don't have kids? So whatever, it's a whole discussion. The Gemara, so he says, well, I saw Baruach HaKodesh, I saw with divine inspiration that I'm going to have Menashe, I'm going to have a kid who's going to be a terrible Russia. I'm going to have a child. It's not that he wouldn't have any other kids, but he knew at least one of his kids was going to be a big Russia. And therefore, why would I want to bring a Russia into this world? And he's going to do terrible things. So basically, the Navi rebuked him and said, who are you to get involved? So there's a debate among the Mefarshim. Clearly, Chizkiyahu HaMelech went wrong. He should have had kids. But which part of the equation was he wrong on? So was he wrong on the fact, in other words, so some say he was wrong is, because the bottom line, some say his son Menashe did tshuva. In other words, some say, no, he was right in principle, but he was wrong. He got his nevuah. Don't base it on ruach. He blew his ruach hakodesh. But he was right. I shouldn't. If his assumptions was I saying no? His assumptions are totally wrong. You know, and some say no. His assumptions are right. The mitzvah is to bring up a observant Jewish child, and if you're not gonna do that, then you don't get your mitzvah again. So that's part of the debate here. So clearly, if you hold that Rav Yochanan's opinion is you don't have to convert, so clearly the mitzvah remains intact. It's to populate the world. Whatever happens to your kids, you know, obviously you should machanach them whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, but that's a separate mitzvah. What do I say? No. At Har Sinai, built into the mitzvah of Pru Ravu is to bring up Jewish children, not just Jewish biological kids, Jewish Jewish thinking, Jewish practicing people. So that's the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So that's the machlokas that the kids have to convert. One more thing is, what is the machlokas in general? Like, how is it? That seems very strange. You're telling me, so let me ask you something. Let's say someone's converting to Judaism after Pesach, you know. That's the due date for his conversion. You know what he says? Well, I'm gonna go eat the matzah Leil Pesach. As you know, I'm totally a non-Jew now. Now I convert. You tell me I get the mitzvah. I reclined. I had my four cups of wine. I drank. You telling me when he converts, he got the mitzvah? Clearly not. It's ridiculous. He wasn't Jewish. So that's the kasha. How could it be? How could it be that a non-Jew could get his mitzvah? That's the Minchas Chinuch's question. He says, "How we see from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that let's say someone, the Gemara's case is less extreme, but it's the same point. Someone, let's say, is temporarily insane. For our purposes, let's say, during the hours of 8 and 9, they're insane, they're a shota, legally, and the putter from they're exempt from commandments, and between 9 and 10 they become sane again. Let's just assume for argument, halavai, it's that simple. But let's assume it was that way. So let's say this person ate the matzah during that hour of insanity, and then he wakes up at 9 o'clock. Does he have to eat another kizayis of matzah? Do I say the kizayis of matzah while he was insane counts for the mitzvah? So the Gemara is clear. It's a no-go. He has to eat another. If he wants to fulfill his the matzah he ate, b'shash shot is meaningless. He was exempt from the. If you do a mitzvah in a state of exemption, once you become obligated, you can't count. In other words, a mitzvah done we see in a state of exemption does not count for later on. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch asked. So what's going on here with Rav Yochanan? How could he, when the guy did the mitzvah, he was exempt from Pru Ravu. And now that he becomes Jew, how could you tell me a mitzvah he done in the state of exemption counts later on? That's his kasha. We see from the Gemara. How do we reconcile the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah with matzah that says you have to eat another kizayis of matzah because I did it in the state of exemption with the Gemara in Yevamos, which says according to Rav Yochanan, one fulfills the mitzvah pru ravu with the boy and girl he had from a guy, even if they didn't convert, according to some. So how do we reconcile? So there are many ways, but we'll stick to the one relevant to us here. I'll give you the Minchas Chinuch's answer. Because he tells us there's a major yisod in the mitzvah of Pru Revu. So he says, because he asks, he says, how could it be Pru Revu? I can't control if I have any kids. I certainly can't control if I had a boy and a girl. So he says, so the Minchas Chinuch says, the mitzvah is, there's a big difference between the mitzvah of eating matzah and the mitzvah of having children. Well, the many, of course, there's big differences, but they're conceptually very different. Because he says, when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is the achilas matzah. It's the act of putting the matzah in your mouth, chewing and swallowing, whatever eating entails.
Yes.
And therefore, once I fit, so let's say I did it during 8 and 9 when I was exempt. So come 9 o'clock, I have nothing to show for the mitzvah. Maybe it's true I might be sick for another couple of hours eating the matzah, but I have nothing to show for it for the mitzvah. Because if the mitzvah is the ma'isa mitzvah, once I finish the act, that's it. I have nothing to show for it anymore. So if I did the mitzvah during that time, I get the mitzvah. But if I do it when I'm exempt, I get nothing. Basha'en kein, the mitzvah of Pru Revu isn't the ma'isa mitzvah. It's not the act, it's not the physical act of having relations with your wife. Clearly you need to do that to get the mitzvah. But the mitzvah is 9 months later when the child is born. When you don't, the mitzvah of Pru Revu is result oriented. It's not the act of living with your wife. It's the act of, or the result of having the children. So, and with this, and that's why he says so. You're right. If it's the ma'isa, maybe that's what maybe Rish Lakish holds, it's the mitzvah, it's the ma'isa mitzvah. So therefore, okay, so I have nothing to show from it now. But if the mitzvah is the result, right now I have kids. So what's the difference? It's not important when I had them, it's do I have them now? In fact, how do we know? Because what is the halacha, and we paskin this way? Let's say someone had kids, a boy and a girl, and Rachmana Litzman, one of them died. Or both of them died before the parents died. The halacha is you're not yotzei pru revu. You only yotzei pru revu if you have kids that live past you. They have to. So that's the halacha. So we see. So what does the Minchas Chinuch say? We see it's result oriented. Nothing to do with the. In other words, I can have the mitzvah now, but I could lose it in a New York minute if the kids die on you and you don't. You know, then there's a further debate. What happens if the kids have kids? If you have grandkids, and then it's a further debate, do the grandkids have to have a boy and a girl? Do they have two? So then you get into the details, how far we go. But the Minchas Chinuch says it's clear, we see it's result-oriented, the mitzvah. It's not the ma'isa mitzvah. Yeah, that's pshat in Rav Yochanan. And in fact, with this he explains a very difficult Ramah. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that, as we said, we get the mitzvah of Pru Revu, one boy and one girl. Let me give you the scenario. A person has a girl with his wife, and then whatever, we're not condoning the act. Let's say he was drinking too much, he had a strong attraction, whatever you want to come up with, he committed adultery with another woman, a married woman, and he had a child with her. And he had a boy. He had a boy with another person's wife, and he had a girl with his own wife. Does he get the mitzvah pru? The kids are mamzer, by the way. So, did you get the mitzvah of pru revu with the mamzer? Is the question, and I'm talking about a mamzer beisser, not a mamzer. I don't mean someone who's a ger with a. I don't mean a mamzer beheter. When it's an illicit relation. And the union creates a mamzer. Can I fulfill my mitzvah pru revu? So offhand, it sounds appalling. Of course not. Mitzvah haba b'aveira. We know I can't steal a lulav and shake the lulav and get the mitzvah. Clearly, one would think that you cannot. The Ramah paskins, yes, you can. He's not recommending it. He's just saying if a person did it post facto, you get the mitzvah pru revu. So the Minchas Chinuch says, what's going on? A mitzvah baba veira. How could this possibly be? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch, I'll tell you why, because when it comes to let's say you steal the matzah and you eat it for the mitzvah, or you steal the dalad minim. When do we apply the principle of mitzvah baba aveira? If at the time of the mitzvah, I'm involved in the aveira. So in other words, that bishat, when I'm eating my matzah, the matzah is saying, don't eat me, I'm stolen. Don't shake me. So they have a bishas, when the mitzvah and aveira are happening at the same time, so then the minchas chin, that's mitzvah baba aveira. But for instance, let's say, I was machal Shabbos. I carried matzah in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, and then I ate that matzah that I carried Saturday. You might be a machal Shabbos, but there's no impact. You get the mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because I did the Aveira Shabbos the afternoon. I'm eating my mitzvah Saturday night. So at the time I'm doing the mitzvah, I'm not involved in any Aveira. That's the Minchas Chinuch principle. So he says, when's the Aveira of committing adultery? 9 months ago. When I'm having the child, I could be in shul davening, I could be learning, I could be at work. I'm doing something 100% mutter. Therefore, we don't apply the principle of mitzvah ba aveira, since the mitzvah is result-oriented, and it's not the ma'isim. That's why he explains, that's why we paskin, not that you can do it, but if one does commit adultery and have a mamzer, so yes, in theory, if he's one short and he has the right sex of the child, he can fulfill the mitzvah pru ravu with the mamzer. You know, that would depend on whether you hold the mitzvah is the maisa bia, as we'll see. We'll have to go into it. Maybe we'll continue next week. Tosis in Baba Basra and Gittin seems to disagree. And then we could go in, that leads us to modern technology, artificial insemination, IVF. If the mitzvah is pru ravu, is living with your wife, so what about all these new modern technology things? Can I get the mitzvah pru ravu? And I will have to continue. Yeah, Jeff.
Now, a couple of questions. Firstly, look, is the mitzvah pru ravu, having a boy and a girl son,
That's the discussion. Clearly the Minchas Chinuch says the mitzvah is pru ravu. In other words, obviously living with your wife, there's a mitzvah of onah. There's a mitzvah you have to give pleasure to your wife. But it's not the mitzvah of pru ravu. And yeah, so you could say it's a heksher mitzvah because let's assume before modern technology, let's assume that's what the Torah had in mind. The Torah had in mind you live with your wife, you know your wife in the biblical sense, and that creates a child. That's what the Torah had in mind. So clearly, that gets into whether marriage itself is a mitzvah, or marriage is just a heksher mitzvah for having kids. That's a separate debate we'll get into. The Rambam and the Rush, whether getting married, clearly you have to get married to have the kid, but is getting married the mitzvah? Getting married, so too, is living with your wife is a way, that would be the machok. Some will say that is the mitzvah. That's what I'll discuss more next week. We'll get into Rav Moshe Feinstein Shita and others, but that's goof of the machok is here. Whether the physical relations with your wife, is that the mitzvah? Well, no, that's not the mitzvah. That's just the preparation for if you have a kid later on, then that's the mitzvah.
Yes, another question, please. Look, when I'm eating a stolen matzah is screaming, I'm stolen, you see? But if I'm eating a matzah, your other example, that I took across a public place on Shabbos, the matzah could also be screaming. I'm only here because he was Mechalel Shabbos. I mean, why is that not a no-go?
No. What do you mean the matzah? Why would, at Saturday night, why would the matzah be screaming?
No. Because the matzah was, I only got the matzah because I walked across a public street to get it.
I know, but I'm saying if mitzvah, according to the Minchas Chinuch, if the definition of a mitzvah baba aveira means at the time I'm doing the mitzvah, I have to be involved in the aveira. I'm not saying we could discuss maybe some other opinions. We might have a different definition of what a mitzvah baba aveira is. But I'm saying is, according to our definition, according to the Minchas Chinuch's definition, The matzah might have been machal, but that doesn't affect. Who said that involves the chefsa? If I'm machal or Shabbos, if I'm stolen, I'm a chefsa. I'm a stolen object. I don't know if I'm a chefsa of a machal or Shabbos object. Is that I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying al pi halacha we might put a kenas. We might have other reasons, but there's a difference. One's in the gavra, one's in the chef. In other words, the matzah didn't do any. In other words, the matzah didn't do anything wrong. Maybe there could have been an error of like the matzah was just the object used, and as opposed to it's inherent. This lulav is known as a stolen lulav. It's not known as a machal Shabbos matzah. The matzah is allowed to carry on Shabbos. The matzah doesn't have any halachas. In other words, it has to do with the chefsa. The chefsa is stolen. The chefsa matzah is nothing. What do you mean? I don't have to keep to the laws of the Torah. Like, what do you mean?
But the matzah is only there because there was a public street between.
Okay. Yeah. But that's incident. That's incidental. That's not inherent to the matzah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes,
there's another expression aside from "yol obu" in the text. It's "yimali olam." Fill the world.
Right.
How is that different from Bir Urbu?
No, well.
Is it a mitzvah, first of all? Yimali Olam.
No, so the. So it goes like from a halachic point of view, they, like, obviously, they picked what's the source of a mitzvah. Many times I could have guessed on my own different psukim that to me seem like they fit. So I'd say it like this. Biblically speaking, the mitzvah is pru revu. Midivrei, from the rabbi, from the prophets, they learned out the mitzvah to populate the world. And that pasuk would just reinforce that the Jewish concept is, or the concept is to fill the world. It's just adding and abetting, but it doesn't necessarily have a halachic significance. Maybe I can interpret that pasuk to mean something else, in theory. But practically, you're right. It's another pasuk just to benefit what's saying, but it's not necessarily a halachic source. And not because it wouldn't have been a good... In other words, the rabbis could have chose that. They chose not to, for whatever reason. Maybe they thought this was better. Either they thought that you could reinterpret, we have to see in what context is that said. And maybe, you know, either they could have picked it, but they didn't. But it's not... It's more like, you know, another asmachta. You want to... And look, the Torah says we have to populate the world, and we'll quote your pasuk. But it's just, it'd be an added addition. It wouldn't necessarily, but from a colloquial pru revu, yeah. But from a halachic pru revu, Shevis is different than pru revu. Well, even the pasuk in Navi isn't pru revu. I'm saying, from a halachic point of view, the details are important. If I'm just talking in general, you know what, you should be then, you know, I could throw that pasuk in also. It doesn't make it. If I'm talking colloquial, not halakhically, then you're right. That pasuk, you could, to you, that's what that pasuk means, and that's what you're telling someone. So, but from a legal point of view, it doesn't hold the same weight as the other psukim, but from a lashon adam, then that's fine. You know, it seems like a good pasuk to me to buffer your point.
But, I mean, both sentences have the same, they're both imperatives, they're both commandments. Yimali Olam is a command, I'm telling you to fill the world. Bir Urbu, I'm telling you to multiply, be fruitful and multiply. And the thing about Yimali Olam is also, it comes in the context of the flood, of the Mabul. And so you have a world which is empty of people, and you're being told, Yimali Olam, you know, fill the world.
But also another thing, number one, that's a pasuk in Parshas Noach. That could be part of the mitzvah of Puravu. He gave Noach the mitzvah of Puravu. That could be it. Or secondly, it's Kodem Matan Torah, that pasuk. So therefore, I don't learn out today. We don't generally learn out something that was given before Har Sinai. We don't give it the same. So the other pesukim are Puravu is a Matan Torah, and the pasuk in Navi is, that pasuk is number one. Simple pshat is, I'll say that's part of the myth, that's what pru revu means. So I'm saying is, the kash is the terrorist, we do use that pasuk. I'm just saying is, part of the mitzvah pru revu is yimali olam. Or I could say that, or I could just say, if I don't want to say it's part of pru revu, I'll just say it's kodem matan Torah, and that was the mitzvah for none before the Torah was given. Maybe that was part of my obligation, but now that the Torah was given, God changed what the obligation is. So we're not necessarily arguing. I'm saying I could argue that's part of the mitzvah pur revu, or it's kodem on Torah and it's not relevant today. You know, either of those ways I could view it. But, you know, but so we could agree that it's...
Your voice went off.
Oh, no, so I'm saying, so either way, either those two schools of thought, so I'm not... So we could say, like you're saying, that is the mitzvah pur revu. That's what the Torah... In Parashas Noach, that's what God is telling Noach. You have to rebuild the world. So that means I'm agreeing with you. That is pur revu. And if you want a taina, it's not. You just argue that was a separate pasuk kodim before the Torah was given, and it was relevant then, but it's not relevant today. In other words, we can learn philosophy from there and see what God had in mind, but it's not going to be a halachic imperative because it was given before the Torah, and that's a separate discussion, separate shiurah, that we don't learn out things generally kodim matan Torah. That we only learn out from verses after Matan Torah. So when, there'll be verses we learn out, we have to explain why those verses are different. But the rule of thumb is, we don't learn out Kodem Matan Torah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff?
What is the source that the mitzvah Peruah changed that Matan Torah? One thing before and nothing
afterwards. Right, no, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin that gives us the... it tells us a principle that any mitzvah that was given before Sinai and then repeated Har Sinai, the mitzvah changed. As opposed to a mitzvah that the first... Yeah, so that's, the Gemara just has a principle there. We could argue whether it was a logical principle, not logical, but I think that... I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's something along those lines. That if a mitzvah was given before Sinai, and then repeated, it must be that we're changing the mitzvah. Why have to repeat it? You know, of course I could argue, because then how do I know it was given? But I'm just saying, but that's part, depending, you know, that's part of the, whatever the argument is, that's the Gemara's principle. But that's how we know.
Thank you.
Very good. So what's everyone's plans today? Let's get down to it.